If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love that is. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is, We Remain One with Our Creator, Unaffected by Dark Dreams. So don't make them real. We remain one with our Creator, unaffected by dark dreams. So don't make them real. So if you're ready, call yourself forward in your divine life stream. Simply be present as the divine presence presenting. Know that we are simply instruments through which the one divine presence presents into the dreams of time and space and becoming. So realize whoever you see, you only see yourself. Whoever you speak to, you but speak to yourself. Whoever you give anything to, you but give to yourself. Whoever you deprive anything of, you but deprive yourself. Whoever you deny, you but deny yourself. Whoever you judge, you but judge yourself. Whoever you bind, you but bind yourself. Whoever you free, you but free yourself. Whoever you forgive, you but forgive yourself. There is only one divine self in all of existence. That self is your real self. That self is the only reality. Your own immortal being as truth, awareness, bliss. That is the absolute truth. Every God-realized man and woman has affirmed these statements as truth. And they become our absolute realization as we awaken from the dark dreams that the false self has projected, but in highest truth have left no effect except for what we've made real. We make dark dreams real for ourselves, and then they become real in our dream. And so our dreams, whether they're night dreams or daydreams, our dreams of birth and death and reincarnation and karma and all that. When we awaken, we find that we've never left the heart of God. We remain as God created us, in original innocence and peace. We remain one with our Creator, unaffected by anything that has disheartened us, caused us to believe that we were separate, or that has projected a world that seems to be filled with violence and warfare and vengeance and hatred, which we have made real for ourselves only because we've allowed it to affect our bliss, our sense of who we truly are. We've allowed the dark dreams to replace the reality we share forever with our Creator. And it's from these dark dreams that we are awakening, we're emerging. The more truth we bring into our awareness consciously, the more the dark dreams fade and dissolve back into the nothingness, having had no effect. I think that's a happy news, a joyful news. That's why in the Course of Miracles it says a happy ending to all things is assured. And that our world will dissolve in love and laughter and joy because it's been a place that's been filled with sorrow and tears and unhappiness and pain. So what else could the end of the world be, but it's dissolution into joy and laughter and bliss? And where else can you find joy in a joyless place but by remembering it's not real? Really speaking, it's not real. Nothing is going on. Oh, I know it seems like it. We have our plans, and we do this, and we do that, but it's all big nonsense. We've got a real life that we're living right now, and real creations that have been completely untouched by our dark dreams. Totally unaffected. You have creations with God, right now, that are beyond anything you could imagine in their perfection, beauty, and eternal existence. So, down here in this dream field that we think of as a real life and a real world, ho, 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 you know, it's your dream and you're making it up as you go along. It's our corporate dream. We're making it up as we go along. So right now, what's present in your life? What's present in your life right now? And that includes all levels of your consciousness. You know, your mind, your emotions, your physical body, all of that that you've taken to be real, ho-ho, is what you've made real for yourself. Your experiential day-by-day state of consciousness, what you're aware of, what you see, what you interact with, is only what you have made real for yourself. And you're according it, any reality is the only reality that it has. It has no other. And it will be present in your life for you to experience as long as you want to make that real for yourself. And that applies to everything, no exceptions. You know, some of us have made a very divine life real for ourselves. And we're very happy. We're having a series of happy dreams in which we dream we're ascending or returning home to God or interacting with our brothers and sisters in other worlds. These are all dreams, but at least they're pleasant dreams and happy dreams. And that's part of the awakening, is the shift from the nightmare of where we feel absolutely victimized in a cruel world to where we actually walk with God and have very happy, happy dreams of awakening, becoming enlightened, meditating, doing yoga, doing spiritual practice. Those are all dreams. They're all happy dreams. We don't need any of it. But it sure is a heck of a lot better than feeling like you're, you know, totally victimized and trapped in a world that we would give anything to get out of. But you see, the world is only in your mind. There's no outer world. There is nothing outside of your own mind. Nothing. Everything is within the self, the big capital S, the divine self. One time when I was really, really freaked out, and was having a existential meltdown with tears and shaking and total freak out. I felt like I was being smothered in a world of evil and ugliness. And I was out with my husband that day, and he was quite enlightened. He was a master from Venus. Very, very, very awake. Enlightened. And he took me into this little restaurant down in Hollywood Boulevard, called the Crossroads of the World. Interestingly enough, it now happens to be the Ekankar Center. But back then, in those days, in the 80s, it was kind of a vegetarian restaurant, New Age restaurant. Anyway, we ducked in there, and I'm shaking and trembling, and I have my eyes closed now because I don't want to see anything. I don't want to see the ugliness of what I judge to be the outer world. And he very softly reached over and touched my hand, and he said, "Saivani," that's my spiritual name, "Saivani, look, look, look up." And I looked up, and over the cash register of the restaurant was a picture of Sai Baba. And in that instant, I had a vision in which everything that exists was in Sai Baba's head. Everything, the world, the cosmos, all of creation, me, my husband, everything was inside Baba's head. Now, Satya Sai Baba is what's called a rare Purna avatar, which means a full embodiment of all of the qualities of divinity that could possibly be expressed through a human form at this particular point in our unfoldment. And he is the embodiment. He's called Sarva Devi Swarupam, which means the embodiment of every name and every form of God man has ever imagined throughout all of existence. So whoever you are, you will see your beloved God, whichever God, what Krishna, Jesus, Allah, whomever you worship, you will see Sai Baba take that form, or the one you love most, your mother, your father, whoever it is. I personally saw Sai Baba transform into Jesus many, many, many times. I saw him transform into Lord Ganesha. I saw him transform into Krishna and Rama. And trying to think if there were any others. I think that's pretty much it for me personally. But just saying. And then in the Bible it says, we live and move and have our being in God. And I actually experienced that day, sitting in that booth, in that restaurant, melt, you know, in the meltdown stage, and I looked up, and I had the vision of everything in Sai Baba. Well, shortly thereafter, I went to see Sai Baba. I think I had been maybe one time, maybe two, before then. And I was with Sai Baba, and I had that experience throughout the entire trip of where I was actually in him. It was funny. I would look at him, and I would, like, see myself. Now, I don't look at all like Sai Baba, but people would even walk up to me and sometimes say, "You look just like Sai Baba." And it wasn't anything I was trying to do. I actually was placed inside his form and was seeing through his eyes. And during the time I was there, I was called in for an interview. And he looked at me and, you know, those of us that were in the interview room with him and said, "We but see in the world what we have within ourselves. When we are at peace within ourselves, we will see a world that is totally filled with peace." And I came back home to Santa Barbara after that four-month trip. And I remarked to my husband, I said, "Wow, everything sure changed in Los Angeles and Santa Barbara. Everything is so peaceful. It's so clean. And we have so much room. And wow, this apartment is big enough for six families to live in." And he kind of smiled at me. I think he realized that I had had a big wake-up when I was with Baba, and that he had placed me in a state of consciousness that was more, let's say, attuned with the reality. And thus I saw a very different world when I came back from that trip. And that's what happens to us as we begin to awaken within the dreams. We begin to see things differently. And above all else, I think more than anything else, we do want to see things differently. I think if you really asked each person, would hope against all hopes that what we see when we turn on the news is not real. I don't think anybody in the world really wants to see what's portrayed every single day and night on our news and believe that that's the only reality or that it has any semblance of reality, really. And thank God it doesn't. It does not have any reality except for what we accord as real for ourselves. And for each person, it's different. You go over to some places in India where I've been, and people have no idea what's going on in the news. They have no idea of politics, none. They have no concept of any of the stuff that we are fretting about here in the Western world, particularly in the United States. They have no concept of that. And therefore, it's unreal to them, and they don't experience it. Now, they got their own things that they've made real for themselves. But I'm just saying, we think the whole world is aware of what's going on in our political arena, for example. They're not. There's places in the world where the news has to do with the local milkmaid winning a prize in the local fair. That's the headlines in that part of the world. There are places all over where people are completely unaware of what we here in Los Angeles are involved with and thinking about and concerned with, all the social issues, all of that stuff. We've made real only for ourselves because we have projected subconscious impressions from the past and are taking those impressions as if they were happening right now. And that's why the Course in Miracles says we see nothing as it truly is. We see only the past. I mean, if you didn't know what a teacup was, a coffee mug, if you didn't know what that was, you would see it as if for the first time, wouldn't you? You would have no recall of putting it to your lips and drinking tea or coffee or whatever, would you? So when we pick up a teacup or anything that we have associated with from past experience, we don't see it as it is. We see it through the memory of interacting with it in the past. And that's the same thing with people. We don't see anybody as they truly are. We see, you know, our parents and our children and everything. We see them based on our experiences with them in the past. When you look in the mirror, you see only the past. When you look at anyone, you see only the past. And therefore, you're seeing nothing as it truly is. You're not seeing anything as it truly is, because if you did, you'd see only the divine, the holy, the pure, and the perfect. You'd only see God. So this is the good news. You, your loved ones, every one of us right now, this moment, are home with God. This life with all of its events has only been a series of dreams, both daydreams and night dreams, happy dreams and nightmares. All the time we've been safely home with God, living in perfect oneness and love. We remain as God created us. Right now, you are as God created you. You're perfect, identical to your Creator, absolutely indistinguishable. When it said that there's only one uniquely and only begotten Son of God, that's you and me and everyone as an idea of love within the mind of God. And ideas leave not their source. So that means that you are forever a loving thought of God, forever one with your Creator. And when you become God realized, you realize you are that. You are God. When the third avatar of Satya Sai Baba comes on, well, he's on the planet now, but when he grows up and begins teaching, that will be his message. You are God. So in a way, I'm kind of giving you a prologue of coming attractions, because this is the ultimate truth that all non-dualistic teachings, like Vedanta, which is Advaita, pure monism, non-duality, all of them teach you are God. So this is something that we allude to in almost every one of our seminars to get us familiar with this way of thinking about ourselves and perceiving life, because this is prerequisite to living in heaven now. This is living in heaven now. Living in the Satya Yuga, the age of truth now. Living in the golden age now. Living in the fifth dimension or the fifth world now. You're not waiting for some phenomenal thing to happen outside of yourself. It's a shift in the way and in what you're making real for yourself, okay? Many people are waiting for some, you know, event to happen. There is no event, no outer event, none. Oh, there might be dreams of that, because that's what so many people are trying to make real. So they'll make real that perception. But the truth is not that distance. It's not governed by time. It's not under the limitation of a timeline when certain things have to happen on certain dates. Those are all those things people make up. and make real for themselves, but they're not real at all. They're dark imagining. They're dark dreams that prevent you from present godhood, present realization, present love, present peace, present wholeness. It's present now. And so the false self projects all of these time-related events to try to distract you from waking up. So you remain as God created you. Right now, nothing needs to be changed. You know, you don't have to seek for truth. You only have to be able to perceive error. You don't have to seek for love. You are love. You don't have to seek peace. You are peace. You don't have to seek for God. You are God. Got the idea? So what we have to uncover, we have to learn to discern the unreal from the real, the dark dream from the present reality. And so it's very important to seek out every barrier that we have constructed against the love that is, the love that we are. It's the barriers. It's the defenses against the truth that the false self throws out there. That's what we need to become aware of. Every time we contract in fear and separation and againstness, every time we need to look, be aware of that, and choose again. What do we choose? Well, simple. I remain as God created me. I remain as God created me. I remain as God created me. That one thought would undo the whole craziness of the projections of the ego self or the false self. It would undo it. If we could just hold on to that one statement from the Course in Miracles, that one lesson, if we could hold that, everything else would line up. Everything else would just, you know, you would just discount all of the rhetoric of the world. All of the naysayers and the soothsayers and the projectors of evil and the doomsday prophets and all that stuff. You just dismiss it as some mad, insane thought of someone that's not, you know, that's mentally requires correction. And because it's a projection of our own self, we would recognize in that rhetoric, in that person, how we have been defending ourselves against the love that is. Yeah, when you know, watch the politics and the news and the craziness, you have to realize that those are things within our own subconscious mind that we are here to bring to truth and dissolve in truth. And we can only do that by owning it as our own self. And that's why in the last seminar I said the process is to forgive yourself for judging yourself as to whatever upsets your peace. You don't have to forgive things that don't trigger you, that don't give, that don't upset you. But if anything you're seeing upsets you and disturbs your peace, that's where your work lies. That's something in yourself that you've yet to forgive, that you've yet to see through to the innocence and perfection and holiness in which you reside forever as one with your Creator. So pay attention when things upset your peace. And whenever they do that, it's because you're looking at something that is not real. If it were of God, it would give you the feedback of peace. You see, the peace of God is the presence of the Divine Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter, the one who comforts you and strengthens you and encourages you. That's the Divine Spirit. and very little of what you see on the television and in the media is going to do that. So you know categorically that it's false evidence appearing real because it engenders insecurity and fear. And almost everything on that you see relates to trying to protect your body. But you have never, ever at any time been in a body. You have never at any time been in a separate world. Jesus in the Course of Miracles is very clear on this. There is no world. That is to say, the world we see is the world that we have made real for ourselves. And it has only the reality we have accorded it. No more, no less. It will seem real to you as long as you want it to be real. But at any point you can change your mind and say, I could be seeing peace instead of this. I could choose to remember that I am one with God. I could choose to look past that illusion of an absolute buffoon doing insane ego behavior and recognize the absurd buffoon inside myself that's doing insane ego behavior and forgive myself for judging myself in that outer seeming person or situation. So that's how you undo the ego. That's how you return your mind to sanity. That's how you experience and can experience enlightenment right now. This can be your absolute last incarnation when you can see only the good, the holy, and the divine in all people and things, including yourself. When you can do that, it's game over. You don't return here again unless you come back as an avatar, a way shower, a way pointer, a traveler. And in great compassion, that's why we have these great avatars and Buddhas and Christs that come. They don't have to be here. That's not for themselves. My husband certainly didn't have to be here. He obviously came back to be a witness of truth, to stand in that divine presence. So you're not bound to a chain of having to come back here again and again unless you've made that more real than being present in God now. It's your choice, you know? You're free. You're free to choose, I should say. So right now, we are enjoying a real life and our perfect creations with God. We have perfect creations with God right now. In a real life and real creation that remain unaffected by our dark dreams. Right now. I mean, have tea with that. Have tea with that. Because what we've created with God never changes in its perfection. It's not bound by time. It's not bound by space. It's limitless, all-pervading. And we will never probably understand that fully until God reveals it to us, which is the very last move. Because we did not create God. God created us. So only God has that final revelation to reveal to us. Meanwhile, we need to learn to live in the presence of God 24/7. 24/7. So we are to seek and undo all of the barriers, the false self, The unhealed mind has built as a defense against love. And as we do that, we find life begins to sweeten. So the false sense of self or ego has had as its sole objective to hide from love by projecting separation. And it does this by projecting a false worldview in which good and evil seem to coexist outside of oneself and vie for control. Thus, the false self or ego projects its guilt, fear, and self-hatred without upon others, upon people and situations which it perceives as separate. And an outer world also perceived as without, out there, and separate. And that's the projection of the whole illusion of separation. So to awaken beyond the dark images of the false self and its projections, we need to recognize them in every judgment we have cast upon ourselves, another, and the world. And it is with our thoughts alone that we're to work, allowing our true self or the Holy Spirit to guide our interpretations. We have to be shown what things are for by our inner teacher, the inner master, the Holy Spirit, the Buddha, the true self. We have to allow everything to be reinterpreted for us because we're not seeing anything clearly from the ego mind. And it's only in recognizing falsehood that we can realize truth and learn to see with true divine vision. We go from the projection to divine seership or divine vision. And it's important to realize that whenever we are experiencing any negative, unloving, unhappy, peaceless state, we are exhibiting a false self. We're trying to make vengeance and separation real rather than love and oneness. The undoing of this false self and its way of projecting blame and guilt. That's our task. And we do it by recognizing it and dismissing it simply as unreal. And forgiving ourselves if we've identified with that. The prerequisite for realizing that we remain as God created us is simply recognizing error when it appears and re-choosing what we would have real. We get to choose again what we would have real. And, you know, when you realize you've never left home, that heaven is present here right now, that nothing has really happened, we simply fell asleep and forgot home, and we forgot God, and we forgot who we were. And now we're awakening. So it's all been resolved. We but revisit the past. Everything's been completed. Everything happened in an instant. Everything was created, healed in an instant. The whole error of thought, what if I were separate from God, that was healed out of time, the minute it arose. So in time, we're simply revisiting and getting a chance to choose again. We're revisiting the past that's already been resolved. It's already been completed. It's all finished. There's nothing new here. It's just a recycle. It's like, you know, the movie Groundhog Day. You keep revisiting that scene again and again and again until you get it. You wake up. You exit the theater. It's finished. Done. How has already been resolved, all dark dreams have vanished back into the nothingness. The light of truth remains. And here in the illusion of time, space, and otherness, the events in our lives and in our world, they seem to be happening now, as if for the first time, but that's simply not true. And it becomes really interesting when you can move into that objective observer self and watch the flow of events from that perception. It's like, oh, I'm seeing only the past. Oh, interesting. Okay, I choose love, choose love, choose love, choose love. And you're free. When you only choose love, you're free. So the only appropriate response is loving. That's it. Then you know you're always aligned with the divine. Your response is always gentleness, kindness, compassion, understanding, loving, and taking responsibility for what you see and the energy that you allow to emanate from your mind, your thoughts, and your behavior. You know, you can be very passive-aggressive where you look real sweet and calm on the outside, but boy, when people walk into your aura, they feel, you know, like you're a prickly cactus. I think we've all known people like that. They're like walking bombs getting ready to go off at any moment because they've stuffed and disowned all of their stuff, and they've projected it outside in the world. And so when you come into their aura, you feel cactus. So you can't fool. You really can't fool anyone. You can fool yourself. But sooner or later, you keep stuffing, you're going to explode. You know, you're going to erupt in some sort of violence. That's why these people go off, do these crazy things. They've been stuffing, 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 and projecting their guilt outside, 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 until some point they snap. So don't do that. Be honest to yourself. If you're angry, really look at what you're angry at, because it's always yourself. If you hate somebody or something you see out in the world, really own it. Look at what inside you is that particular vibration, that particular behavior. And forgive yourself by remembering that you remain as God created you. You're making real something that doesn't exist. So stop it. You have control over what you make real. In fact, Jesus in A Course in Miracles say we always are conscious when we make a choice. We pretend that we don't remember. But every choice for what you would make real is done at a level of conscious awareness that later you choose to pretend like you don't remember. That's self-deception, by the way. So we are revisiting the past as a series of mental impressions and seeing only the past and nothing and no one. Now, so if we saw ourselves as we truly are right now and anyone as they truly are right now, we'd see only the innocence, purity, and divinity. We'd recognize in everyone our dearest friend, our beloved, our own divine self. And that's true vision. That's Deva Drishti, true vision, God vision. And that becomes increasingly our experience as we return our thoughts to truth and see through our own illumining mind. We're turning up that dimmer switch brighter and brighter and to always see as the divine light. Now, I went into that state, as I told you several seminars ago, a few years back, I went into that state where only love was real, and the vibration became such that the whole world, everything around me, vanished in white light. I had about 4, 5, 6 episodes of that. Absolutely could not function. And here in the West, there's no place for people that go into that state. Usually they'll diagnose you as having some psychoses and put you away. So it wasn't safe for me to not be in an ashram in India or someplace where I'd be looked after by people who are aware of people that go into that state. So I was taught how to hold my vibrations right in between. So I don't raise them too high to where I vanish, but I can stay grounded enough here, make this world real enough to myself that I can stay here for communication purposes. And so when you get to a certain stage, you realize that you of yourself, you don't exist. You're simply a mechanism through which the One Divine Spirit speaks. That's it. You're a conduit for truth, for the presence. But the personal egoic self ceases to exist at that point. Now, I'm not making any claims for that myself. I'm sharing my experiences and how I was shown to hold my vibrations at a certain level that didn't get too high. Because when I look at people, I feel such incredible love that the vibrations get higher and higher and higher and higher, and that's when the disappearing into light occurs. So I may be speaking to some of you that are having that experience now. If you're living in a Western country that doesn't really recognize the states of illumination that we go through, you will be keeping your illumination dimmed down, dumbed down, so to speak, at a vibration that you can interact in the world appropriately. I must say, after 11 years in silence and solitude for 95% of my time, I find that very difficult. I really have to work at it. And I work at it this way, and this is a key for those of you that are in this state. See how you can make other people happy. That's your focus. You don't go out to do anything for yourself. You're not interested in that. What your focus is how can I make this person happy? What can I do for this person? You become completely focused apart from the self that you thought you were. That self vanishes. That personal, needy, using the world and people to get for yourself, that vanishes. And you're just here to make people happier, make them feel better, make them be able to get through the night, get through the day, get through the issue, whatever it is they're being tormented by. And your own serenity, your own love, your own composure, your own compassion becomes the teaching, becomes the medicine, moreover becomes the testimony to the truth of God. You become a walking, living witness to reality, because you're filled with joy and peace and love all the time. Well, when you're really in God realization, yes. Most of us go in and out, in and out, in and out, and it takes a while to stabilize that, and it's very rare that anyone does that while retaining a physical form in the world. The hologram, the illusion of a physical form, because you turn into pure light. Your body turns into pure light It was a photograph taken right after I went into one of those states. And I was with a group of people, and my whole body was white. You know, they all had normal skin tones, and my body was white. I was shocked when I saw that. I thought maybe it was some problem with the camera, but they took several photographs, and that was white in all of them. So we don't realize that we're at a certain vibration sometimes, resonating pure light. The only way I'm trying to think how anyone could actually tell, because you're inside that. That's part of your reality. But you can't, like, see it except through reflection. And the reflection is you begin to see that in other people. I think the predominant thing I see in people, and those of you who have been with me know that this is true, I see such pure hearts. I see such love of God. I see the burning intensity of the love of God in the eyes of people. I feel and see. I see my beloved that I love with all my heart, mind, and soul. And I think that might be a way you can. You know, it's very difficult to see a self that doesn't exist. And the truth is, we are the light of God, the love of God, the presence of God. And I guess when that's all you see, that's what they call illumination, a realization, or mukti, or Sai Baba referred to it as Sahaja Samadhi. And Sahaja means natural. And Samadhi means the state where everything becomes one and the same to you. When Sai Baba says, all life is one, be alike to everyone, it's that state where you're alike to everyone. You're just alike to everyone because you see only the one and whoever appears before you. Some of you are in that state now, and you're emailing me and saying that you're confused and you feel empty, that you can't find where you belong in the world. That's because you have actually gone into these states, and I'm describing to you your experience. You were trying to find reality in the unreal, and you couldn't find yourself in there anymore, could you? It didn't fit, did it? You're trying to find a purpose and a meaning in the world, and you're not finding it, and you're using it against yourself by saying, I'm confused. I don't have a purpose. I don't know what my mission is. I don't know what I'm here to do. Could I answer all of those and say nothing? You're not here to do anything. Well, what about the things that I'm involved with? Hey, as long as you want to make these doings real for yourself, go for it. Sometimes the best way to awaken is to go full bore into the illusion and eat it so heartily you get sick of it after a while. It's like any addictive pattern, you know, if you just, you know, they say one of the ways to stop smoking is to sit down and smoke several packs of cigarettes nonstop. And it makes you sick, right? Anything you do with the senses has a limit in which it becomes absolutely torture and it makes you sick. So if you think this world is real and you've got this great mission and you're all fired up about it, hey, I'm the last person to say don't do it. Go for it with all your heart and soul and eat of it heartily partake of it full on. Because at some point you'll come to the end of it, and you'll find that it offered you nothing, you'll get tired of it, and you'll move to something else until you've literally outgrown everything that the world could offer. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. Because in highest truth, you are the soul that has had all experiences. It said within the dream that we incarnate twice every century. And we've had thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of lifetimes in the dream. Dream life episodes. And within that, there is nothing we have not been. We have been the most heartless, cruel, egocentric murderers. We have been the most exalted, radiant, glorious saints. And everything in between. There is nothing that you can recognize when you look out of your ego's eyes that you don't see yourself, your own behavior, your own past, your own state. Because you can only see in another what you have within yourself. What you see is literally what you are within the dream, within your own self-judgment. So you are the one that has had all experiences. And if you see something out there that you absolutely hate, can't stand, and are advocating against with all the righteousness of your little ego, guess what you get to incarnate as next time? Yeah, guess what you get to be next time? Because as you judge, as it says in the Bible, as you judge, so you are judged. Not by God, but by yourself. You see? So that's why it's so important to recognize that when you're judging, you're projecting and creating a barrier against the truth, a defense against the truth. And begin to identify every unhappy thought, mood, everything you hate in the world as something you need to forgive yourself for. I forgive myself for judging myself. Because every judgment is a barrier against the love that is and the full realization of yourself as you truly are, one with God. So this is, this is a teaching for people that are ready to wake up. Make this their last journey into this dream penitentiary that we call Earth Life. You know, you might find it somewhat difficult to imagine how you could live perfectly secure, happy, and at peace all the time. And yet that is what we are meant to live. That's how we're meant to live. That's normal. And that is what it's like to be enlightened, illumined, self-realized, God-conscious, God-aware. That's it. That's what freedom, mukti, liberation means. So liberation is to loose the world from all you thought it was and to choose your own divine reality instead. You train your mind initially to remember God all the time. Last week we shared with you the holy instant. Where you take a deep breath, close your eyes, and go home. You unite with God. Holy instant. Practice it. You train your mind to look only for the good and praiseworthy in all people and situations. You train your mind to remember that all things that happen are designed for your highest good and well-being. You train your mind to remember that no matter what you see, that is a mirror showing you what lies within your subconscious mind that you need to release to truth, You need to forgive yourself for judging yourself in that person or situation. So you free yourself every time you free another. You forgive yourself as you forgive another. For in truth, there are no separate others, only one's own self seen reflected in the world. So you transform how you see the world and people as you free it from your own judgments. And then a new world appears, filled with loving kindness and the divine presence and peace and love. That's what you notice. That's what becomes real. You remain forever as God created you, and you begin to consistently remember that. You remember that you dwell in perfection, holiness, peace, and divine oneness right now. You remember that nothing you ever seem to do within the dream or will do within the dream, none of that has ever really happened. None of it has any effect on you. All of it has been entirely illusory, like a conjured mirage. You cannot change what God created changeless. You cannot kill what God created immortal. You cannot sin when God has created you sinless, pure, and innocent. You cannot create apart from, nor unlike God, for you are oneself united with your Creator. Make these truths more real than the unhappy, victimized self you imagined yourself to be. Make reality real for yourself. The reality that you abide in now and forever as pure divine love. So, I trust this has been truly helpful. That has been the intention behind these discourses, these transmissions. And I'm just feeling the peace of God right now. I think you are too. I see truth always brings the evidence of peace. Always comes with the evidence of peace. So whatever you see that upsets you, tell yourself, I could choose to see peace instead of this, and then choose peace. So, I bless you with the peace of God. I ask your blessings for the peace of God. And together we send the peace of God to all the minds that are dreaming dark dreams of peacelessness. And as we send this sweet thought of peace, we see all of the minds illumined with the peace of God. Because in truth, there's just one mind that we share with God. There's only one mind, and that is God's mind, in which we dwell forever as ideas of love. Let's go out chanting Anahyu. Deep breath. Anahyu. God bless you. The peace of God be with you. Namaste.